I'm on the phone with John Clark from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty in Toronto. Welcome to CKET, John.
Thanks very much.
This past Tuesday, June the 1st, we received word that a homeless man had died just yards away from a building known as the Gatekeeper Squat that OCAP tried to convert into affordable housing just this past November. Maybe you could comment on this recent event and what exactly the implications of it are.
Yeah, the man was a homeless man and a First Nations person, and his name was Tom Bain, and yes, he died right in a bus shelter, right outside the Don Jail, and in fact, just a stone's throw away from the what you described as the Gatekeeper Squat, the building we took over in November, and we're aware of the fact that in the last month there have been 10 such deaths in downtown Toronto. In any event, it sort of brought home to us the fact that the time for any more excuses and equivocation around the building really has to be brought to an end. And so we went there today, and we made a simple announcement that Dennis Mills, the local member of parliament who had promised to open the building within 1 month last November or to resign his seat, we're telling him that we've heard all kinds of stories about what's planned, what's promised, what's going to happen, what may happen, but that's going to come to an end now. And we're giving him 1 week to get work crews in the building or an equivalent site, or we give a guarantee that before the election takes place, we will actually go into that building and we will begin the process of renovating it ourselves, and we'll mobilize people in the community to come out and support us and stand in solidarity with us when we do it.
So at CKUT, we had reported on the Gatekeeper Squat after the action took place to open it back at the beginning of November. And of course, what came out of that day was Dennis Mills, a local member of parliament, coming out and making this promise to have it converted into social housing in 30 days. That obviously didn't happen. Have there been any developments, though, that have been made with regards to the Gatekeeper Squat?
Yeah, there's really been lots of twists and turns, and I think initially we were somewhat disarmed, to be quite honest, by the incredible ability of Dennis Mills, or readiness of Dennis Mills, to say things that he couldn't back up, that weren't true. From the standpoint of his own self-interest, we would have expected him to have functioned in a more credible fashion. In any event, after he made the promise, the month came and went. By February of this year, we became aware that he was going to hold a lavish press conference with half the Liberal cabinet in attendance to announce plans for so-called waterfront development here in Toronto. So we went and crashed that, and basically took him to task, and probably didn't do his public relations exercise a great deal of good. After that, he then scrambled, and what we discovered was that the hospital that actually owns the property had drawn up a lease with a housing providing agency to turn the building into housing. So it appeared at that point that we'd actually turn the final page. What then happened is the housing provider, about 3-4 weeks ago, sends a contractor in to make an evaluation of the building and report back. The ball is then in Dennis Mills' court, and the housing provider tells us that for 3-4 weeks they've heard nothing back from him. So he's just, whatever the results of the contractor's survey, Mills has done absolutely nothing with it. And now he runs for re-election. We're in the middle of a federal election campaign, and nothing conclusive has happened around the building. Hence, we took the action we did today. And as I said, we were spurred into this by the spate of homeless deaths in the last month, and the fact that Tom actually died right virtually under the front door of this place.
Also, last week there was some other news with regards to the homeless population of Toronto, in that there were some temporary residences that were evicted from underneath the Bathurst Street Bridge. Maybe you could speak a bit to what happened there.
Yeah, it was a quite an interesting quite an interesting struggle in many ways, and it didn't have a good end for the people that lived under the bridge. There'd been considerable long-standing harassment by the police and by the city's bylaw enforcement officers of the population of people living at that bridge. For those people who know Toronto, it's right at the base of Bathurst Street, right by Fort York. And we'd been able to stall them for some months. Every time they'd moved, posted eviction notices, our interventions had caused the mayor's office to back off. Here in Toronto, of course, we have at the present an NDP mayor who has certain pretensions with regards to being progressive. And so we found, however, that in the last few weeks they decided to bite the bullet and move ahead anyway. We mobilized to the best of our ability, but in the end were not able to prevent the eviction, and the people that were living there, the community that was there, was dispersed. Police then went down to nearby the Gardiner Expressway Spadina area and told homeless people living there that they were going to be next on the list, that they could expect to receive eviction notices anytime soon. So we mobilized another action in defense of those people, and we announced that we were looking to create a situation where we could take some visible place as a place of refuge for homeless people. If they didn't want people sleeping under bridges, we'd put them right under the mayor's nose. And the campaign we took up seems to have had some effect. Apparently the mayor's office has now developed a protocol to no longer have bylaw enforcement officers directly responsible, but to intervene themselves and basically do a period of study and assessment and sending in outreach workers before evictions are contemplated. Basically, I think we've created a situation where they're somewhat squeamish about the next round. But given the whole agenda of redevelopment that takes place in this city, there's no reason to believe that we've done anything more than buy a bit of a respite, that the drive to remove the visibly homeless from the center of the city is an ongoing agenda of the developers and the yuppie residents associations and the cops. And David Miller certainly doesn't have what it takes to stand up to that agenda. So we're sort of using this time to prepare for the next round that's going to come up in this struggle.
It seems like in Toronto that there's a group of politicians who kind of, as you mentioned, have this veneer of being somewhat progressive, but in light of these recent events, I mean, do you feel that these are people out to make progressive changes for the city of Toronto?
No, I mean, I think they're people that are associated historically, well, in the case of Miller, with the NDP caucus within the municipal council. But of course, many of the members of that caucus are persecutors and social cleansers of the homeless in their own right. Politicians that have been associated with the NDP on council, like Pam McConnell and Kyle Ray, have been as rabid as any overt right winger in that regard. But Miller, of course, tries to juggle different bases of support, and certainly does to some degree rest on a sort of a, you know, somewhat left liberal leaning middle class base, and of course has close connection to the trade union bureaucracy, and based on that he's been somewhat squeamish about being as overtly overtly poor bashing anti-homeless as was his predecessor. But at the same time, you know, the condominiums continue to sweep through the downtown, and the agenda that they have is to try to push out not just homeless people but poor neighborhoods and build a city center that's based entirely on upscale commercial, recreational and residential development. And there's no place for colonies of homeless people trying to survive under places like the Bathurst Bridge. It's so much, in fact, the case that Miller has been associated, and his office has been associated, with a drive to close down even day shelters or drop-ins for homeless people and replace them with round-the-clock shelters. That seems to be the direction that they're moving in, because they want to have a situation where people are not out on the streets, where they're either pushed out to the fringes of the city, or they're staying in shelters in which they remain throughout the day. So, I mean, Miller is continuing to take that direction, because it's what the developers and it's what's the vested interest in this city want, and his pretensions and his problems with different support bases notwithstanding, in the end he's going to, I'm sure, try to implement that agenda, and all that can be done is to mobilize community opposition against him and create a counter power to those vested interests.
Finally, to wrap up, here we are at the beginning of June, and we're moving into the bulk of the summer months in Canada's cities, and certainly the issues that homeless people face in the summer can be quite a bit different. Maybe you could comment on what some of the homeless people in Toronto will be facing as the summer approaches, and what OCAP plans to do around that.
Well, it's a period of the year when people's choices with regards to even emergency shelter are constricted, because many of the shelter beds that are available through emergency church provision, etc., are removed during that period. And it's also a period when, because the shelters are so intolerable and inhuman, simply because it's warmer, people find it somewhat easier to stay outside. Not that people don't stay outside throughout the entire year because the shelters are so bad. But as people come out, and particularly as it becomes tourist season and the quality of life for upscale residents becomes the preeminent concern, the drive to socially cleanse the homeless from the center of the city is intensified. And so I imagine that one way and another we're going to find ourselves this summer fighting back against that whole agenda. And a general strategy will be, if they want to make the problem invisible, our goal will be to make it more visible, to bring people into situations where if they find homelessness ugly, then we put it right under their noses and create for them a problem that's bigger than the one they're trying to solve. And if we can do that, it's entirely possible that we can force this municipal administration into retreat.
Well, we've been on the phone with John Clark from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty in Toronto. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Aaron.